Matthew 26. Let me ask you this. You ever pray, and then when you're finished praying, you feel like it's not finished? Like you said everything you had to say, but nothing changed, right? You're still in the same sense, the same state that you were before you prayed. Sometimes it's like we say, well, my prayers are hitting the ceiling, not getting past the ceiling. God's not hearing my prayer. God's not answering my prayer. And sometimes we feel that way. Well, in fact, in the Bible, you know, the Bible says that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Some say it was his eyesight, others, you know, something outside of his body. But of course, we know he had physical limitations. And he said, I have this thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, he said. How many of you have ever had a problem and you say, that's the devil getting after me? And that's what Paul said. That's the devil getting after me. And he said, and it's here to keep me in line, basically. Buffet me. But you know, he said, I asked the Lord to remove it. Three times. And God told me, my grace is sufficient. So God didn't take it away. He heard my prayer all three times. But it didn't change anything. You see that? And then we come to Matthew 26 and we find out not only is Paul a great example to look to, but the great example, the prime example, is Jesus. And the Bible says that he prayed three times the same prayer. The same prayer. And sometimes people will say, well, you shouldn't just say the same prayer all the time. But Jesus did. Paul did. Said the same prayer. Same words. In verse number 36, the Bible says, then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane. Now, Gethsemane is a specific place. Now, if I were to say to you, I'm going to Pahokee, you would know it's a specific place. You might not want to go there, but you would know it's a specific place on the map. And so Gethsemane was such a place. It is, in fact, it's a grotto, a cave, in the side of the hill, what we call the Mount of Olives. And the reason that little cave is there, and you go inside, there's a place where they press the olives to get the oil out of the olives. And that olive oil is what they use, medicinal, cooking, and to burn lamps, a light. So use it for fuel oil. So that oil, they would squeeze out of the olives. And then as you look at the hillside of the Mount of Olives, we call it, there's olive trees all over. And then there's this little cave there called Gethsemane, the olive press. And Jesus, I forgot to tell you, it's right across the Kidron Valley where there's a little brook that runs through there, the Brook of Kidron, right across from the eastern gate of the temple. So as Jesus would go to the temple and teach or participate or whatever he would do at the temple, it was a short walk across that valley and then to Gethsemane. So this is a place they were very regular at. They were very familiar with it. In fact, if they would continue going up over that hill, they would go to Bethany, we talked about the other night, where Lazarus lived with his sisters Martha and Mary. So this was part of Jesus' normal track, where he always was. He was always in that area. They were very familiar with it. So on this night, they cross the Kidron Brook, the Kidron Valley. They go to Gethsemane, and he says in verse number 36, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Verse 37, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. So he went further to pray with his three most faithful friends. These are the type of friends we need. Think about it. You don't necessarily have to raise your hand, but how many of us can say, I know three people I can call right now that will help me out. When I say bail me out, I don't mean bail like jail, but I mean, you know, bail me out. I mean, if you need it, you need it, right? Somebody asked me, I don't know, a few weeks ago, would you bail me out? I said, well, it depends on the charges. might not. But we need to have friends. We need to have a bond with somebody that we could turn to and call. I mean, you could call them at 2 a.m, they won't fuss at you. You could call them at any time and say, I need you. And you know, obviously there are going to be times where we can't drop what we're doing, but you know, we need to have friends that will, as soon as they can, drop what they're doing and rush to our aid. That's the kind of people we need. Peter, James, and John were those three men for Jesus. He's got the apostles with him. Only 11 of them. One has disappeared during dinner. The other 11 go with Jesus. They go to Gethsemane. And when they get there, he says, I need to go and pray. And everybody just settles in. And he takes the three and they go a little further, a little yonder. The Bible says in verse 37, he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. There was something weighing on his heart. There was a heavy burden. There was something that was just, it was getting to him. He had such a ministry, didn't he? For 33 and a half years, he's had a great life. And 3.5 years, he's healed people, raised them from the dead, walked on water, fed 5,000, fed 4,000, and their families. Caught a bunch of fish. Right? What a great life. He's had a great life. But on his way to Jerusalem, he was going through a town, and they said, he doesn't seem like he's really interested in being here, because it was starting to get to him. We were coming to the day. And now that day is upon us. In fact, earlier in this day, he had gone to his apostles, and he said to them, I want you to go to find a room. I want you to prepare the Passover meal, because I want to observe Passover with you tonight. And they had Passover. Walked across the valley, and it's really starting to set in. It's starting to get heavier. It says very heavy. How many of us have ever had such a crushing feeling of impending doom? That's what he's talking about. But I want you to notice something in verse number 38. He said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with me. I want you to notice what he did in verse 38. He told his friends. I appreciate the idea that when we go to work, my grandfather always said, Derek, when somebody asks you how you're doing, just tell them you're doing fine. They don't really care. They don't really want to know. Now, I hope that's not the case with us. I hope that's not the case with church. But in general, when you're walking through Walmart and somebody says, hey, how you doing? Don't tell them everything. Don't tell them everything. Just say, I'm doing okay, right? But we need to have some people in our lives we can tell everything. We can talk to them about everything. We don't have to hold back anything. Now, remember, one of these people in this group is Peter. The same one who said, not so, Lord, it will not happen. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. It's the same guy. These are the two sons. Their mama came to him and said, can they be on the right hand and the left when you have your kingdom? I mean, these three guys have their faults. It's okay to have friends that have some faults. But don't hold it in because it's going to crush you more. You need to be able to talk to somebody and tell them your darkest, deepest, most worrisome things. Tell them. Now, some people will go to the pastor. Some will go to a counselor, maybe even a psychiatrist. My recommendation is that you find you a good fishing buddy or shopping buddy or coffee buddy or tea or whatever it is you like to do, knitting or whatever, and just spend some time with them. And it's incredible how in those times, It's not really about knitting or fishing. It's about fellowship. And we're able then in those times, maybe it's walking or jogging or cycling or whatever, somebody that can share and hear and listen, and they don't have to have all the answers, but they listen. It's the number one thing. Number one thing you want is somebody to listen to you. The number one thing we want is someone to just hear what we're saying. And so as a minister, as a Christian, as a church member who goes out and helps other people, you need to have that number one quality to sit there and listen. Hear what they're telling you. And Jesus had three friends that he took with him because that's what they did. They listened. He said, guys, it's crushing me. Peter didn't say, not so, Lord. James and John didn't say, hey, it's getting close for us to sit on either side. No, it wasn't about them. Guys, please, when you're listening and people are sharing with you, don't make it about you. Don't one-up their story. Don't one-up their misery. Just let them tell the story. Hear them. Love them. Show compassion. Pray for them. Don't try to, you know what happened to me? Leave it out. Next session is yours. This one's theirs. Let them share their burdens. And don't try to run the conversation. And then what happened in verse 39? He went a little further and fell on his face. He collapsed, didn't he? Guys, the physiological stress that he was under. We could go on, and what do we find? He sweat drops of blood. As it were, the Bible says, drops of blood. It was just pouring off of him. And so he's stressed to the max. Hey, let me remind you, this is Jesus, the Son of God. This is Jesus, the Creator. This is Jesus. And yet, as he's facing all that's ahead, he is crushed by it. He's very heavy. He's weighed down. Let me tell you something. If Jesus can be weighed down, don't expect that you won't be either. If Jesus can get stressed, trust me, you can too. If Jesus can be burdened, then so can we. It's nothing to be ashamed of. If Jesus can be sorrowful, look at what he says, unto death. In other words, I would rather die than face what I've got to face. Now, how many of us have ever had that in our lives? I'd just rather die than have to face it. And that's where Jesus was. He prays. We read his prayer. He said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Father, is there anything? You understand, the plan for Jesus to be crucified, for the blood of Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, to forgive our sins, it was necessary that he be the supreme sacrifice. And that plan was instituted before the foundations of the earth. Before Eve took the fruit of the tree, they already had a plan for salvation. Before they hid in the garden, Jesus had a plan for salvation. Before they took that first blood sacrifice at the Garden of Eden, the plan for Jesus to die for our sins was already set. This had been the plan for thousands of years. And now it's tomorrow. And Jesus goes to the Father and he says, is there anything else we might have missed? Like, are there any other options? I mean, have we considered everything? How many of us do that when we're facing crisis? We look at it and we go, is there some other way? Does it have to happen this way? Do we have to do this? Jesus says, is there any, if it be possible, let's go another route. And then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He's, now, look, Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. And he's looking, what's he going to face? Well, number one, he's going to be hanging on a cross, naked, bloody, beaten beyond almost recognition, and his mama standing at the foot of the cross. Nobody wants to do that. His friends are going to scatter in every direction and not know what have we done with the last 3.5 years of our life. Have we wasted it? Is it all over? Was it all where we hypnotized? Was it real or not? He's dead now. He doesn't want that for his mama. He doesn't want that for his friends. For the church. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want Peter to feel left out and lie standing around the fire. And you know, he doesn't even want Judas to come up and kiss him on the cheek and become the byword for a traitor. No, Jesus doesn't want any of that. He doesn't want to be punched in the face and his beard pulled out and spit on and cussed at and mocked. Crown of thorns pressed in his brow. He doesn't want any of that. None of us do either. He doesn't want to suffer. He goes to his father and he says, but if this is the only way, we'll do it. He did that for us. You understand that plan of salvation that was launched before the foundations of the world, that plan was for us. And if you've ever faced something that you'd rather die than live through, then Jesus can relate to you. The humanity it shows. You say, I don't know if I can do this. That's what he said. So he can relate. I don't know if I can live through this. That's what he said. He can relate to you. I don't want to do this. He can relate. If it be possible, I don't want to do this. You see, Jesus is our God and our Savior and our King and our Lord. But he is also our High Priest, touched with our infirmities. In other words, that can relate to our humanity, yet without sin. He prayed that prayer. He got up and he went and checked on the boys. We're not going to talk about that. He went back and he prayed again. Here's his prayer in verse 42. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. If this is the only way, but if it's the only way, I'll do it. He went back and prayed the same prayer. And then it says in verse number 44, it says he prayed the third time saying the same words. The same prayer. God, if there's any other way, he prayed the same prayer. You say, well, I've already prayed and God didn't hear my prayer. He heard it. He heard it. And if he's going to change it, he'll change it. But he doesn't always change it. And some things we have to live through. Some things we have to experience. God doesn't take everything away. But he prayed and asked that there be any other way. Jesus can relate to our fear and anxiety. The crushing of the soul. The desperation of the spirit. Yes, he knows. He understands. He was there. And he talked to his friends about it. And he talked to the Father about it. And let me encourage you to do both of those. Talk to somebody and pray. But in the end, come back to the same point Jesus did and say, your will be done, Lord. Your will be done. God's will, not mine. Jesus gives us a great example that living out God's will is sometimes difficult. God ever called you to something that was difficult? God ever put you to do something in your life that was hard? You say, this can't be God's will. It's not easy. Sometimes God calls us and puts us through things that are hard. And we say, I don't want to do it. Oh, I'd just rather die than do this. And Jesus says, I can relate. But this is part of your life. And if you don't fulfill God's will in your life, what's going to happen? If we don't go through with what God's called us to do, what's going to happen? Now, if we're selfish in the flesh, we go, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. And we walk out on God's plan. It's not comfortable. It's not fun. It's not easy. But if we honor God, we can impact others. What did Jesus do? He went to the cross and he died for me. He died for you. And he changed the world. I don't know that I can change the world, but I can touch lives. If I'll do what God called me to do, I'll impact some people's lives. And if you'll do what God's called you to do, you'll make a difference. You'll change lives. People will go to heaven instead of hell. People have their sins washed away. They'll have freedom to live. They'll have liberty of the soul and a home in heaven. If we fulfill the purpose of our existence. You see, I said that was the plan for thousands of years, and now it was time. But you understand, if it weren't for the cross of Calvary, if it were not for the crucifixion, there'd be no point for Jesus to leave heaven. No point. Why did Jesus come to the earth? One reason, the crucifixion. Without that, there was no point coming. And he did it for us. It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't fun. It wasn't easy. But please don't believe that the only way it could be God's will is if it's easy. Sometimes God's will is hard. Fulfill it anyway. Keep it anyway. Let's stand. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, please right now stop whatever you're thinking and put your heart on God. If you've never prayed and asked God's forgiveness, right now you can pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I know I am a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I put my trust in you, God. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul in Jesus' name. Maybe you're already saved, but it's time for you to bury your past in the waters of baptism. Isn't it time for you to start living for God? Or maybe you've got a burden or a need that you want to share and want me to pray with you about. Happy to do that. But I want you to know God is listening. So you can pray from where you are right now, from your heart to God, about anything. Be heard in heaven today. God, use this time in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your opportunity to come. The altar's open if you want to kneel and pray. I'll pray with you. Or you can pray where you are. God, not my will, but thy will be done. I've asked you to change it. I've asked you to fix it. I don't want to go through this in my life. But I'm trusting you, and I'm just going to stay on course with God. I'm going to keep the faith. This is your opportunity to say to God, I'm all in with you. Anything else before we're dismissed? Glad you're here today. Hope you come back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Ladies meeting, 6 on Tuesday. Don't forget that in the fellowship hall. All right? All hearts and minds are clear. Glad you came today. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please, sir?